episode 42. Parents Night, episode 42. Hey, yo, we drink lots of bubbly and spit rhymes that are ugly. Welcome to episode 42. It is time for you to click subscribe. It is time for you to click subscribe. If you experience elation, hit that notification bell and make sure you like us and subscribe. It's time to click subscribe.
Happy 4th of July, everyone. Welcome to Parents Night In here at inoffa.com. I am Justin.
I'm Kelly.
We have a special episode for you tonight to commemorate the Disney Plus debut of Hamilton.
Hamilton! It's the greatest musical in the world!
How does Kelly and Justin sitting in the living room talking about...
Sitting on the couch. That was awful. You are not... I just want to put this out there, and I'm going to say it kindly in case it hurts your feelings. You are not a freestyle rapper, sir.
That was rude. You know that all I've ever wanted to be is a freestyle rapper.
You need to practice more then.
All that I've ever wanted.
I think you need a little more practice.
You're ruining my dreams. I'm just going to freestyle rap everything I do, like narrate my life.
Oh my God.
Hey Kelly, I'm going to the kitchen for some cereal and milk. I think I might have two bowls this morning.
I'm going to wash my hair, then my butt, and I'm going to... Nope. Justin was very resistant to Hamilton at first. And I was actually a little bit too. When I started listening to it, I was like, I don't know, this is kind of weird.
Big deal?
Like, I like musicals, but like, who is that even? And what are they saying? I don't even know what's happening. And then the third listen, something clicked. And I was like, okay, this is really good.
Yep.
I don't know why it's so good, but it's really good. And then I started being like, Justin, you need to listen to this. You need to listen to it.
Oh, it's a musical. It's like, it's so stupid. I hate musicals. I don't hate all musicals. There's just, I have a select roster of ones that I like. And I love those, but like, I don't seek out musicals generally.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I really think you'll like this one. It's really different.
I was like, but it's like rap.
A hip-hop musical?
I'm neither a big theater guy nor a big rap guy.
Right. Except that after you got into this musical, you then went down
I started listening to more rap, yeah.
Yeah. So we were in the car on the way to his mom's one day, and it takes about an hour and a half to get there. And I was like, if we're going to be stuck in the car for an hour and 45 minutes in traffic, you're listening.
Yeah.
And so I put it on, and we got pretty far through it.
We got halfway through it, and I was like, wait a minute, this is only half over? Jesus Christ.
Right, and he was like, I mean, it's all right.
It didn't blow me away at all the first time. And then my niece and nephew... We're already in love with it by then.
Yeah,
and
like, that's
had
true.
Memorized the entire thing.
Yeah.
So then we were hanging out by the pool and they're like, let's listen to Hamilton. And I was like, oh, fine.
Yeah.
So they put it on and it's not good background music.
It's not good background music.
There's so much going on. You can't just put it on in the background and not pay attention to it. So I was like, this is not helping me appreciate this.
Right.
So then finally, after the third listen, I was like, fuck, this is awesome.
That's right. I remember getting an email from you at work and you were like, fine.
And then I couldn't stop listening to it.
Yeah.
It was legit probably 3 weeks that I listened to it on a loop.
Yeah.
And then we saw it and we were like, this is the most amazing thing I've ever seen on a stage.
We were not let down. It was fabulous. And then we saw it on a Tuesday night.
Yep.
So we got to the theater and we found that both Burr and Eliza were being played by understudies. And we were like, oh,
God,
man.
Damn it. We should have gone on a fucking Friday.
Yeah. And then the guy who played Burr was amazing.
He was unreal.
Yeah.
His name is Ryan Vasquez.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe that Justin tweeted him after the show.
I did. And he liked my tweet.
Yeah.
No, he was just an absolutely incredible Burr. Leslie Odom has an amazing voice, but I feel like acting wise, Ryan Vasquez was even better just because he had like a very tangible arc going from dorky guy who can't get in with the cool kids to
anger
consumed by a grudge.
Yeah. And I don't remember who was the name of the guy that played Hamilton. He was fabulous too.
He was. I don't remember his name.
Hmm.
The guy who played Burr in Boston was also great, but in a totally different way.
Yeah.
He was like the sort of really polished sales guy almost.
Mm.
Who then things don't work out and then he gets desperate, like more and more desperate as the show goes
on.
So it was just, it was very cool to see the character interpreted two different ways, but both with a very clear arc.
Yeah.
Watching this tonight, it was wonderful to see Lin-Manuel's acting chops. Because
He's good.
From the album, you don't, like he's great on the album, but you don't get to see his facials and stuff. Like,
yeah.
He really emotes with his face a lot.
He does well, yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, when you watch a show and you're really far back from the stage or even partially back from the stage, you don't pick up on all those tiny little movements and faces. And it was fun to see some of those close-ups.
We watched it with my sister tonight, who had never seen it or listened.
No, she knew basically nothing about it.
Yeah, she really liked it. And so about like a quarter of the way through, she was like, I don't know if I should be mad or amazed that every singer is better than the last one.
Yeah.
Like every time a song ends, I'm like, oh my God, that was the best person in the show.
Right.
And then another song comes up and you're like, no, 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 this is the best person in the show.
Kelly, who's your favorite part of Hamilton if you had to pick one person?
Nope, can't do it.
Shut down immediately.
You asked me a question and I immediately gave you an answer. I don't know. I like them. The ones that I love for different reasons and in different ways.
Of course. But like, you know who my favorite is?
You love David.
Because his rapping is so amazing and agile.
Yeah.
Lafayette slash Jefferson is such a great role. If I were to ever... I've done some theater. I don't think I'd be qualified to do a show like this. But if I ever...
You'd have to work on your rap chops.
If I ever auditioned for this show, for like community theater, that would be the role I would go for, I think. Because both characters are so fun. And he gets the most kind of showy solos, as it were.
The first few times I listened to this, I had a really hard time getting past Lynn's voice. No, he's not the strongest singer.
No,
however, he's got all the charisma.
Yes.
And passion behind it that makes it really fun to listen to.
Yep.
Plus, some of the super Broadway singing is just awful. In general.
Yeah, I agree. Like, the stereotypical Broadway singing is like... As we've talked about, it's unintentionally funny. The Ethel Merman type shit.
We have so much fun doing that at home, by
we
the
do.
Way. Cleaning the house and it's like, I'm getting the soap! Everybody get ready to scrub!
What happened to those Clorox wipes?
We're out of Swiffers!
The cats broke into the paper towels and now they're full of holes!
We are not going to do this to you all night, people.
But no, the rest of the time it's going to be me freestyle rapping.
Oh, no. Poor our neighbors.
I thought you were going to say, poor our audience.
Poor our audience, too.
I pity our audience.
Yeah.
All 10 of them. For those of you who don't know, he wrote Hamilton because he was on vacation and decided to read Ron Chernow's book, Hamilton. I think it's the full name.
Mm-hmm.
The biography, which is a great book. I've read it myself. Just for fun, he just started reading it, and then he became fascinated with Alexander Hamilton. He was like, I need to write a show about this.
Mm.
And who does that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, one of the founding fathers, let's write a show about that.
Yeah.
Except we'll make it hip-hop.
He was like, this is actually very hip-hop, the way that this all plays out. Like, this is like a Biggie Tupac thing,
yeah,
a little bit.
Right.
Renee Elise Goldsberry is friggin' amazing.
Yes, she is.
Gorgeous and super friggin' talented. They all are, all three of them.
They are. But she just has enormous presence.
Right. She's got such gravitas and her voice sounds so effortless.
Yep.
And if I ever try to sing along with her, I basically need to throw up when I'm done because I've used every ounce of my energy. You know what makes me sad?
What?
She can't do wrong. She can't do anything wrong.
It bothers.
Angelica's perfect.
It makes you angry that Angelica is so perfect.
She's so good. Yes. It makes me want to punch people and things.
Wow.
Yeah.
That might be a harsh overreaction.
Her singing's so amazing, I want to kick my dog. No, it's great casting because Angelica shines right away. The second you see her, you're like, she's incredible.
Yep.
And that's how Hamilton felt about Angelica when he met her. And Eliza is like, okay, she's really charming and cute.
Right.
And, you know, interesting in kind of a mousy way, almost.
Yeah.
But then later in the show is when she really shines.
Right.
She's a grower, not a shower, as they say.
Yikes. You would imagine that... if Hamilton and Angelica got married, that it would have been like two stars.
Two alphas fighting.
Yeah, two bright stars in one spot.
Yeah.
It would burn the whole place down.
Well, that's what Chernow said. In his book.
Oh, really?
Like, they had such an attraction to each other, and they may have hooked up. There's no evidence either way, really.
Yeah.
Like, there's no evidence that they hooked up, but, like, they were very close. They wrote each other all the time.
Yeah.
And clearly they were really attracted to each other, but... She wouldn't have kind of been right for him because he needed the kind of support system that Eliza provided him. Jonathan Groff.
Spits a lot.
He's brilliant. He's like spitting and drooling and shit.
Oh God, he spits everywhere.
But it's so fitting for the character.
Yeah.
Because King George was a fucking maniac and a narcissist and a sociopath.
It's so funny because now when I picture George Washington in my head, I picture him. Mm-hmm. I don't actually picture the real George Washington.
Hey, give me a dollar. Wait, this
who's
is
this imposter?
Chris, what's his name? Chris.
I want to call him Chris Washington. It's not Chris Washington.
That's what I wanted to call him too. Chris Washington, right?
Yeah, no. What is his last name?
What the fuck is wrong with us?
Yeah, I don't know.
Chris Washington.
We're literally the worst.
He should change his name to Chris Washington.
That'd be weird.
Jackson.
Christopher Jackson. Yes, it's Christopher Jackson.
Well, he's named after a different president. A really bad one.
Yeah, not a good one.
Jesus.
He didn't pick the best one to be named after. So by the time the second song came on, like within the first 2 minutes of the second song, I got chills like four times because I'm one of those weirdos that gets goosebumps when I listen to music
That's
I like.
It's not a weird thing. I get it all the time.
I know, but it's not. I don't think it's as common as I would assume because of how often it happens to me.
No, but I mean, I think that it's indicative of something. I mean, there have been articles written about it that I've seen posted on Facebook. Like
some of them I've seen is like that you're highly intelligent, and other things is that you're highly
just in tune with art,
with your emotion,
I mean, that's what music is for, is to stir up emotions, really.
And then there were lots of tears.
Yes. This movie is going to be right up there with, like, E.T. and It's a Wonderful Life. Whenever we watch it, I'll be like...
I just can't believe this is with us forever now. If Disney ever gets rid of this, I will get rid of Disney.
Do you hear that, Disney? That was a threat.
Yeah. That wasn't a threat. That was a promise.
I have to think they'll release it on Blu-ray anyway.
I hope so.
Without the censored fucks.
So when I was listening to the soundtrack at first, I was like, her voice is pretty good, I guess. And I loved Burn, but like this song didn't really do it for me. And I would be like, oh, Angelica's so amazing. And Eliza's pretty good, but Angelica's amazing. I don't know. But actually seeing her perform this, she lights up the room.
Yes, she does. And that was the
difference. She's a different kind of draw than Angelica's. But she's so charming.
She's so charming, and just the sincerity comes across.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you just want to root for her. She is...
She's a great actress. She emotes beautifully.
Yes, she's the girl next door that you just fall in love with immediately. Whereas Angelica is like the...
She's a vixen.
She's the one that's out of reach. And I've always been a sucker for the girl next door anyway.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about what we're drinking.
What are we drinking, Justin?
We're drinking Roederer Estate Brut.
Mm-hmm.
It's our favorite bubbly right now. This show really made me appreciate rap phrasing. And then from there, I started listening to Eminem.
Well, and he does amazing things with phrasing.
His phrasing's just insane.
Yeah. You gotta listen to some more Biggie.
I do.
I think you would like him.
But it made me just appreciate sort of, it's almost like the mathematics of it.
Yeah.
Like fitting, it's like Tetrising words into spaces that they
shouldn't fit.
That you wouldn't think that they would fit.
Well, and rhyming words that no one would ever think to put together.
Right. Stuff like that actually chokes me up now.
Well, it comes down to that thing again where it's like we love music so much that you get the goosebumps and the chills and the tears.
I liken it to, when it's done like that, I liken it to a great guitar solo.
Yeah.
Because like a great guitarist will play stuff that you just don't expect and he just makes, or he or she, makes it fit in a way that you would never think it would fit.
Right. I'm a big sucker for a callback. In a concept album, in any kind of musical, Jesus Christ Superstar makes a huge use of that. They do tons of callbacks in that show.
Right.
When I fell in love with Jesus Christ Superstar as a seventh grader, that was one of those things where, like, I think I thought I was a secret genius because I was able to pick up on callbacks.
Yeah.
And so for years, whenever I pick up on a callback to something, it immediately, I have an emotional reaction to it.
Yeah.
So when I really started to listen to this and understood where the callbacks were coming in and why.
Yep.
I was like, oh, why is he so smart? One of the things I've learned about myself is that as a coping mechanism, when things get crazy in our lives or in, like, you know, we're dealing with coronavirus and work's crazy and we're buying and selling a house and we're going through all this crazy stuff. And so what I tend to do is sort of shut myself off to emotion because I'll lose my shit if I don't. And so it was kind of nice to watch this tonight and have like a little bit of a moment to feel.
Well, you just described my entire life as I shut myself off to emotion. That's just how I have been for many years. Because I guess I don't know how to handle it. As a kid, I was a very emotional kid. And by the time I reached early teens, I was like, all right, I'm done with that shit.
Why do you think that changed?
It was too upsetting to allow myself to feel all that. And, you know, once you fall in love, that's...
Right.
A whole other fucking bag of worms. Bag of worms? Can of worms?
Can of worms.
I like bag of worms.
Bag of donuts, I think.
I'm going to go buy a bag of worms.
Yeah.
And at that point, you can't control any of that emotional potency anymore.
Because you're in love?
Because you're in love. But in every other aspect of life, you try to turn it off because it's just too hard to process. My kind of emotional release tends to be either music or movies.
Yeah.
But like watching a show like this in the company of others, I had to really...
actively work hard not
actively to. Work hard to not blow my eyes out when we saw this live.
Oh, Leslie, you tug at my heartstrings with your passionate singing, your passionate scene-stealing performance. Tony Award-winning. Leslie Odom was Tony Award-winning. Leslie Odom won an award. It's on the wall in his office, and it's named Tony.
I wonder if Leslie and Lynn got into a fight because they were both up for the Tony for Best Lead Actor, and Leslie won and Lynn did not. What, maybe they had a duel for it.
I think that's how they determine these things.
Did Leslie Odom win?
Yes.
Then maybe.
I think they dueled over it.
Here comes one of my favorite parts, when Lafayette really comes into his own and he's just spitting all over the place. He's spitting raps. I'm taking this horse by the reins and making red coats redder with blood stains.
And he just jumps off the table and lands like he weighs 10 pounds.
And doesn't miss a beat.
Yeah. He must be in fantastic shape.
Mm.
I'd break both my knees probably jumping off that table.
I couldn't even survive the physical element. Forget about singing while doing it.
I'm taking this horse by the reins. Oh, fuck. Stop the show.
The wound is starting to smell like almonds.
You know, I was thinking today, I was in the car and Miss Jackson was on. And I was like... Andre would totally be, I mean,
Andre would be a great Lafayette.
He would be a great Lafayette. Yep.
Well, David's voice always reminded me of Andre Benjamin. I love Andre Benjamin.
I just love how they use the ensemble to move things around the stage, including the letter.
And especially in the Eye of the Hurricane song, where everyone and every object
that's one of those songs
floating.
That on the soundtrack, I'm like, ugh, stupid, I hate this song, and then I skip it. But once we saw it live, I was like, oh, I like it so much better now because I love the slow-motionness of it.
I always liked that song anyway. It wasn't like a favorite, but I enjoyed it.
You know what I always found on the album when I listened to it is I don't feel like his vocal performance is great.
I mean, Lynn is not like a great singer or anything.
But I love him.
I adore him, and he's a genius, and like his rapping is incredible.
Yeah.
But as a pure singer, he's probably the weakest one in the show. I think he probably knows that.
But the emotion he brings to it is worth all of it.
His emoting is amazing. I don't even think I noticed that his pure vocalizing wasn't as strong as everyone else's until like Shannon pointed it out. And I was like, yeah, she's right. He's like, as just a singer, he's just okay.
He is just pure light.
He's a national treasure.
Yeah. He's picking up where Tom Hanks left off. Not that Tom Hanks is gone, but I'm just saying he's the next generation Tom Hanks.
He's going to be America's dad someday. First time I ever saw him was in a clip from Sesame Street, around the time of In the Heights, probably, where he was like a real estate agent or something. And it was on Sprout. They would just show a clip of it in the commercial.
That's right,
I was like, oh, they're doing rap on Sesame Street? That's so annoying.
I remember you being annoyed by that.
And then when I found out he was in this, I was like, wait, that guy? Here's Hercules Mulligan's moment.
This is my favorite moment. When I first got into the musical, I was like, fuck, I love this part.
Yeah.
He looks like a big teddy bear.
He does. Oak.
Like a big giant oak tree.
You know what, Oak? You're okay.
We're broke, but it's Oak.
What?
What's that from? Oh, The Lady's a Tramp. She's broke, but it's Oak.
That's stupid.
It's a Frank Sinatra line. It's not stupid. It's stupid. Amazing. It's amazing!
Ow, that really hurt my ear.
Think about what the audience is going to say.
Jesus, that was like scissors in my fucking eardrum.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
I stabbed your ear holes.
Jesus, my ear was like Janet Leigh in Psycho. And your voice was Norman Bates.
Wow.
In the shower.
Wow. We should be Hammy and Eliza sometime for Halloween.
We should. And then we can perform the whole show for our party.
I'm sure that our friends would love that.
They would absolutely love it. Shannon will get to be Angelica like she always wanted.
Yes.
It'd be great. Bonk. There's a lot of bonks in
this
show.
Lots of bonks in this show.
For those of you who don't know what a bonk is, I'm pretty sure I made the term up. And I want royalties.
We definitely did.
It's in a Broadway number when the song ends with a gank, bonk. Uh-oh. Put the face shield on. He's about to spit.
Shields down, everybody. Shields
down.
Which
is interesting because spit is another word for rapping. You're spitting verses. But he's literally spitting verses.
That was the whitest thing you've ever said.
Shut up. I'm white and dorky. As George Carlin said, you're white and you're lame.
His eyes are crazy. He's got crazy eyes.
There was a movie in the 90s called The Madness of King George that was supposed to be really good.
Who was in it?
Nigel Hawthorne.
Who's Nigel Hawthorne?
The only thing I know him from that I know I've seen him in was Demolition Man. Maybe Kelly can look it up on Google.
I'll look it up on Google and I'll find out who Nigel something is from that movie.
Kelly looking things up on the Google box to find out what he was.
Nigel who?
Hawthorne.
The Madness of King George.
Yeah. That's, I think, that what he's most famous for. I think he was nominated for an Oscar for it. 95, I want to say. Let's talk about dueling.
Stupid.
What kind of happy horse shit?
Happy horse shit.
Is dueling?
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Like,
what year did you think Madness of King George was?
95?
94.
Damn it. I knew it was one of those two. Dueling. So, if you have a dispute with someone, you either work it out nonviolently or you have a fist fight like a man would. You don't turn around and just shoot at each other. What kind of fucking stupid bullshit is that?
Yeah.
It's so dumb. And it's like,
and then you invite a doctor, but
the doctor's not going to do shit in the 1700s. And one of the things was, oh, I don't actually want to kill this guy, so I'm just going to shoot up in the air. Well, then what the hell's the point of the whole thing then?
It's one of those things.
It's a stupid honor thing.
God, I hope it's going to get resolved before I have to shoot up in the air. Oh, well, I guess I'll shoot up in the air.
What's honorable about any of it? It's so dumb. Guys are fucking dumb, Kelly. You never heard of women dueling.
He was an Amistad.
Oh, okay. He was Martin Van Buren. That's right. Yes. Oh, no. Lawrence is dead.
I don't know enough to go super deep into this conversation, but there's question as to whether Hamilton and Lawrence had sort of a bromance.
Yes, there is question of that.
Because their relationship was so close and he was so impacted by his death.
Yes. I mean, there's no evidence either way. It's just like the thing with Angelica. It's like they were very close and they clearly loved each other on some level.
Right.
Whether it was romantic or not. They may have been lovers, you see.
Yikes.
It's also sad because Lawrence was, I believe, a very staunch abolitionist.
And yes.
Maybe he would have sped up the whole emancipation thing.
One thing that I love about the timing of this coming out is that this was planned for theaters in October of 2021, I believe. The fact that they moved this up because of, you know, COVID and quarantine and all that stuff is kind of awesome for so many reasons. Number one, everything that is going on in this country right now, this is a perfect time for people who haven't had access to Hamilton yet and been able to see it, to watch it. And it tells the story in a way that also pays an homage to what immigrants in this country have been through.
Yes.
I don't know, I think it's so important in so many ways. And I love that the young kids who are watching this and the high school kids that have really gotten into Hamilton. And I mean, I have friends with their 8 and 9 year olds that are like super excited to be watching this tonight.
Right.
They are watching a show that is so diverse and that talks about real challenges that entire classes of people are going through.
Right.
What do you do like you're running out of time?
Poop. Watch movies.
Yeah, that's true. You do watch movies like you're running out of time.
Yep. Lately, I've been editing like I'm running out of time.
It's true.
Why do you edit like you're running out of time? Make P&I like you're running out of time. I'm hoping to reach episode 100 of P&I by the end of the year. Is that unrealistic?
What are we at?
40.
We might not make it.
The quarantine gives me what I always wanted. It gives me more time.
Excellent job.
I make episodes of Parents Night In for YouTube enjoyment.
Oh, can you try that again?
What?
Let's just rewind.
Rewind. Rewind.
Okay, now try it again.
I remember that joke. It was bad. I remember that joke. It was bad. I remember that joke. I remember that. I remember that joke. I just might regret that joke for the rest of this show.
You recovered okay.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did all right.
Oh, it's intermission time. Speaking of intermission.
Oh, yeah.
when we saw this in New York, the line for the bathroom, for the men's room anyway, was all the way back into the theater, into the walkway between the mezzanine and the orchestra.
Yeah.
So I go to get in line and this fucking 70-year-old douchebag sticks his arm out and pushes me aside because he's getting in line before me because that one spot back in line is going to ruin his entire night.
Right.
So he was like, no, no. And I said very audibly, I was like, seriously?
Yeah.
And he didn't even look at me after that.
Yep. And then Justin got punched in the mouth and he was bleeding. It was a whole thing.
I did not get punched in the mouth. That guy would have fucking broken a hip if he had tried to punch me.
I know. I'm just kidding. When we saw this in New York, we got poured on. We were soaked. My pants were soaked the whole first half of the show.
My pants were soaked because I pissed myself from crying.
Their bathroom situation was not great. Another funny intermission bathroom situations
are good.
So I had to pee and I was like, I'm going to go down. But, you know, the women's room is always a nightmare.
Yeah.
And I got downstairs and there was a woman who was working the bathroom line who did not seem fully...
Who did not seem fully sane.
And she was like, you know, the ushers have to direct traffic and like, okay, form one line and go over here and this, you stand this way and blah, blah, blah. And she was like,
people, you need to form one line, single file, go over there.
And I was like, either her head is going to explode or she's going to take out a weapon and it's going to end badly.
Maybe she was the daughter of the man who assaulted me in line.
She was crazy.
Maybe they're related. I should have challenged that old fuck to a duel.
You should have.
David Diggs is so fucking awesome.
He's got so much charisma.
He's like just exploding with charisma. He seems approachable, like you could have a beer with him.
He does.
So David Diggs was talking about how he's really uncomfortable just singing in front of people, which is baffling because he's so good at it.
He's really good.
So he was like, I'm not sure what to do with myself when I'm singing. And the director was just like, okay, well then don't worry about singing, just act.
Yeah.
Just be the character and just don't. Just be on pitch, but concentrate on acting. And that's what he does the entire show.
Right. I think I like that in a way, too.
It's so stylized.
Right. But I think, like, if you hadn't told me, I wouldn't have known that. But the thing I like about it is that he's a bigger-than-life character.
Yeah.
And he's not trying to Broadway it.
No.
So, sort of the same with Lynn, right? Like, Lynn, he raps and he acts. And the singing, not so much, but it doesn't matter. He is bigger than that.
Because the character comes through so well.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't matter that he doesn't have an amazing voice. It's just, you get drawn in by the character.
So, Brandon Victor Dixon, who was amazing in the live Jesus Christ Superstar that was on TV, also played Burr at some point, and I would love to see him in that role.
That's very fitting, since Burr is very much very kind of a Judas, similar. It's a very similar role to Judas.
But yeah, so if I wanted to see someone else in that role, it would be Brandon and Victor Dixon. But Ryan Vasquez, once again, was amazing.
Ryan Vasquez was so good in this role.
Hamilton 2018.
If they do a truly cinematic interpretation of it, I would love to see Ryan Vasquez get that role.
Oh, it'd be so awesome. Miguel Cervantes, that was who played Hamilton when we went.
In New York.
He was so good. Yeah, he was really good.
He was great.
And what was... I think the most impressive moment of his performance was when they did It's Quiet Uptown.
Yep.
And he truly bawled through the whole song, sobbing. Like, you could see the tears coming down his face.
And we were in the mezzanine.
And we were up in the mezzanine. And he didn't miss a note. Nope. His voice didn't crack. It didn't waver.
Yeah.
It was phenomenal. And we got to the end of that song and I was like...
Yeah, I don't know how you sing while crying. I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't know.
If I'm trying to do a song that chokes me up, like, I have to stop singing. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't do both. It's like sneezing and pissing at the same time. You can't do it.
Dumb motherfuckers are lighting off fireworks.
I can't find it. Yeah, so they canceled all of our fireworks this year, and so there's been a lot of fireworks tonight. The poor doggies.
You know what I don't get excited for?
Fireworks.
Fireworks.
I like fireworks on the 4th.
You've seen one show, you've seen them all. They're basically all the same. A bunch of shit blows up. Oh, he's writing to Angelica. Who are you writing to? No one.
Let me see it. I swallowed it.
I swallowed it, so you never know unless you go through my poop.
It's the equivalent of closing the laptop lid. Uh-oh, here comes Mariah Reynolds.
Mariah Reynolds is so hot.
Yeah. She's got a voice, man.
Yes, she does.
I mean, they all do.
She's got a voice. She's got curves. Nah. Show me how to say no to... fuck it.
Tell you one thing.
What?
I love when your body screams hell yes.
I have no desire to say no to that.
I love how he turns the wait for it on him a little bit. Like, you get nothing if you wait for it.
Wait for it. Yeah, yeah. I identify a lot with this song because... You know, I think most people would strive to be the Hamilton in this relationship, but a lot of people are the Burr, and in many ways, I am the Burr. And even Lynn said,
More often than not, I think I'm kind of Aaron Burr. I'm not as,
it's like
I'm not as driven as I wish I were.
Right.
And I want to be somebody important, but I don't know how to get there. So I just, any way possible to be important.
Right. You know? And everyone wants to be in the room where it happens, but most people are like, if I just wait and do my job and keep my head down, mm-hmm. someone's going to recognize me.
Yeah.
And I spent a long time in my career like that. And a few years back, I hammed it up a little bit and was like, fuck this shit. I'm sick of waiting
you
for someone.
You hammed it up? Oh, yep. Yeah.
Hamilton did up, but I was
I
like,
I thought
I'm
you were
sick.
Just, hi, guys!
Can I have a raise? It is so hard to listen to this without singing.
Yeah, every time I listen to Hamilton, like, I want to rap along with it just to see if I can still do it. For a little while, I got pretty good.
Yeah, it takes practice.
But if you're even slightly distracted by
anything,
you're like a derailed train. Pooping in my pants. I just came from France. Wearing purple pants. You banged some lady. You spent some money. Blackmailing you today, Alexander Hamilton. Oh,
I think you've had too many beers.
What?
What?
Are you implying that if I were sober, I could nail all of these rap things?
Sure.
Freestyle?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay, I accept that compliment then. Backhanded though it may have been. As you can see, I kept a record of every check in my checkered history. Check it again against your list and see consistency.
I actually like his performance on this better than the soundtrack.
Yes.
When he sings it on the soundtrack, it's like, in the eye of a hurricane, there is quiet. Like he does something with his throat that's
like
weird.
Here.
Yeah. But he does something weird with his throat.
I couldn't seem to die.
Yeah. But I like watching him do this song.
Yes.
Writing saved me before, maybe it'll save me again.
Yes.
And it's like very misguided because
yes.
he's a fucking idiot. Maybe if I tell the whole world how I slept with another lady, they won't hate me and I won't lose my legacy. Oh, wait, my wife.
How funny is it that like admitting to an affair, though, was like, you're never going to be president now.
Well, he's never going to be president now. I don't think it was just because of the affair. It was like, there's a lot of shady shit going on.
Mostly because of the affair, though.
Yeah, but not only that, but then he paid his way through it.
That's true. He did.
It's the paying thing.
Yeah, he paid off a blackmailer.
Like, it's one thing to have an affair. Lots of men did that. But he actually was blackmailed. And if he could be blackmailed for that,
right?
What else could he be blackmailed for? In 2020.
If you can be extorted by one person and pay off somebody because you fucked somebody, interesting.
Pamphlet. That's a weird.
Did it have a lovely, like, posed photograph on the front?
Was it a trifold?
Like most, yeah, a trifold pamphlet. Mariah Reynolds Ranch.
I'm not about ready to
come and have fun for $1,000.
I'm not about ready to pamphletize my sordid affairs.
Well,
I don't mean that kind of affair.
Have you had a lot of sordid affairs?
Not that kind of affair, just like my sordid dealings.
Have you had a lot of sordid dealings? What?
I don't know.
What exactly are you trying to communicate?
I'm not sure. So, probably a few months after we really got into it, we were singing it one day in the car or something, and Harry was like, you're not singing the right words. It's, I'm not throwing away my shah.
My shah?
So he thought it was my shah.
What the hell does that mean?
Well, it rhymed. My shah rhymed to him, so that was what he thought it was. So it was his, like, that was his misheard Hamilton lyric.
I am not throwing away Marsha, Marsha, Marsha.
I am not throwing away my shah. I was reminded of the Harry misheard line because I was thinking about how there was like a whole Twitter feed about misheard Hamilton lyrics by kids. So one of them is, I'm only 19, but my mom is older. And then there's another one. My five-year-old decided that the opening line is, how does a basket orange son of a horse?
But the best one, of course, is, I will send a fully armed Italian to remind you of my love. Hey!
Is that like Sly Stallone is there and he's going to give you a big hug? He's like big arms and he just swoops you right up.
Hey, yo, I love you and he loves you. That's why he sent me. I'm a fully armed Italian and we both love you.
Yep.
So why don't you come back to England?
To remind you of my love.
Da 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 do 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 do.
According to my 7-year-old, they took up a collection just to send him to the Rain Man.
course, Alexander Hamilton wanted to see me. Of course, it cost him a lot of money. They had to give him money to come talk to me. He wanted to know how to count cards. Charlie Babbitt, People's Court. People's Court's on.
Uh-oh, you made the wrong sucker a Coco.
I should not have made that man a Coco. I regret it every day of my life. He did not deserve my Coco. I wasted that Nestle Quick on that son of a bitch.
I'm a diamond in the buff.
A diamond in the buff? A naked diamond? A diamond in the butt. I put a diamond in my butt.
In 3 weeks, I have a diamond.
Yeah. That song's about Cameron Frye, mm-hmm. right? This moment tonight was like, oh!
Well, look at him. Look at him cry.
Yes, his reaction.
And it's at the perfect time.
Yep.
And that was the line that killed me when we saw it live. I was like, motherfucker. Miguel Cervantes, right?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Like, the second she grabbed his hand, it was like the Nile just started flowing down his face.
Yeah.
The Mississippi River let loose all over his face. The Amazon.
The Mississippi River let loose all over his face. The fire hose.
I hope you brought a change of clothes because your face is going to piss tears.
The fire hose went berserk all over his face.
I think more often than not, if I don't already have the lump in my throat by the time this part in the song comes, the second they say forgiveness, I'm like... I wonder if this will lead more Broadway shows to doing something like this at a point in time.
I hope it will, yeah.
It also makes it so that Broadway can be more accessible to more of the population.
Yes.
It's very cost prohibitive to
right.
a large chunk of That's true. The world.
Yes. But I would like to see a lush cinematic version.
You want to see a this. Lush? You got one right here. Oh.
I would like to see... That went on way longer than I thought. I would like to see a lush Hollywood version of this.
Who plays Hammy?
I feel like Lynn would have to do it. I mean, ideally the whole cast comes back for it, but...
That'd be true, yeah.
Owen Bull.
Owen Bull.
Owen Bull! Owen Bull!
We're referring to the peanut butter commercial, kids.
Owen Bull.
I remember being a freshman or sophomore and learning about Aaron Burr and being like, oh, the peanut butter commercial!
No, I knew it before then.
But I didn't. You're older than me.
No, I knew that. But I learned that shit in like fifth grade. That Hamilton
we definitely didn't
was
learn about
killed in a duel by Aaron Burr.
We learned that Hamilton was killed in a duel, I think, or that he died. But like, I don't remember hearing the name Aaron Burr before the commercial.
What year was that commercial?
I don't remember. Let's check it out.
1990.
I'm going to look it up on Google. I typed in peanut butter commer, and it came up peanut butter commercial, Aaron Burr. October 29th, 1993.
93. Wow, I was in college already.
Oh, that was a Got Milk commercial. It wasn't a peanut butter commercial.
Yeah, it was a milk commercial. That's right. Because if he had had milk, he would have been able to clear the peanut butter out of his mouth.
Pick a character.
What do you mean, pick a character?
I'm not going to qualify it. Pick a character.
Lafayette.
Gender bend it. Pick a woman to play that role.
Jesus. Marion Cotillard, because she's French.
She's not very Lafayette-ish.
Who's a woman that's like super...
Who's a woman that's French? Oh, Marion Cotillard.
Who's a
woman... Oh, that lady in The Artist. Berenice something or other.
Berenice...
No.
Bejo.
But no. Nope. She's... That can't be right.
B-E-J-O, I think is her last name.
Berenice Mountain Dog.
Wow.
Well, because I started typing in B-E-R-N, and that's what
a
came out.
A female up. Bernice Mountain Dog. That's who I'm choosing to play Lafayette.
You are right. That was really weird. You were right.
I was right.
Yeah, B-E-G-O.
So,
a B-E-J-O.
Who's a woman that's, like, oozing charisma and panache? Could ScarJo pull it off, you think?
Maybe. I really like ScarJo. I don't know how big she can go. I feel like she's better understated.
Yeah, that's true.
And badass.
She's badass. Hey, ScarJo.
Wow.
You're badass. Are you friends with Morgan? If you guys had a show, it would be Morgan and Badass.
Morgan and Badass? That sounds like a really
It's a cop show.
Yeah, or like a really kick-ass... you know, like when you watch daytime TV and they have the ads for the different attorneys? And they're like, Morgan and Badass, PCPs.
Morgan and Badass, attorneys at law.
Did you get hit by a bus called Morgan and Badass?
Oh, I thought it was going to be a TV show. Every weekday at 2 p.m. on ABC.
No, no, it was an ad.
It's a commercial.
Have you ever been a victim of medical malpractice? Call Margaret a badass.
Margaret a badass.
What about Neil Patrick Harris? I know he's white.
He's a man. You said gender bend it.
Right.
The whole question was pick a woman.
Sorry. Wow. I got excited.
So, Hammy.
7 stars out of 5.
That's a milestone.
World changing. Life changing.
I remember when we really fully absorbed it and fully got into it and we were listening to it every day. It was like, this is why girls pulled their hair out at Beatles concerts.
Yeah. That's true.
It was like, we didn't get to live through the Beatles, but this is all right too.
What would you do if you met Lynn? Would you poo in your pants?
I would hug him and start crying, probably. It's hard to articulate like why it matters so much.
Yeah, there doesn't have to be words. It just matters.
Well, there needs to be for this.
No, but it just matters.
It matters, but why?
Because it...
Why does it touch like every emotional level?
Because first of all, everybody sees themselves in probably multiple characters.
Yeah.
Which is when you know a story is done well, is when you see yourself in all of the characters in some way, shape, or form. Because they hit all these archetypes and phenotypes and you're like, oh,
what's a
right.
What's okay. a phenotype? Is that a word?
Yeah.
I've never heard that word before.
Really?
No.
We use it a lot at work.
I know a lot of words, Kelly, but I've never heard that one.
The set of observable characteristics of an individual resulting from the interaction of its genotype with the environment.
What the hell's a genotype? This is going very
Please
deep.
Hold. The genetic constitution of an individual organism.
What's an organism? Oh.
Oh, wait. It's like, but when you put a type in its environment, you get to see how it plays out,
yeah,
sort of.
Yeah, right, right. Okay.
So anyway, I think when you watch a story like this, you're like, oh, I've been Burr. Oh, I can see where I'm Hammy. Oh, I'm definitely Eliza. Like, you just sort of see yourself in it.
Yeah.
Right? And that can be for literally any type of person. It's one thing to watch it in 2016, and it was almost like we got so comfortable with it in 2016 that the Vox article was saying that, like, yay, we solved racism. Everyone's friends. And so it was like watching this in the 2020 lens is a very different lens.
That's true.
And it is very true because I do remember thinking, like, this couldn't have come out X amount of years ago or it would have been, like, seen as subversive, right? Mm-hmm. But now to watch this in 2020 with everything that's happening with George Floyd and Black Lives Matter and, you know, all these different things that are happening, it's that much more important to be able to see a historical story told through the eyes of not the white guy.
Yeah.
And there's so many parts of the story where, like, hey, I mean, he was an immigrant, but there's so many different parts of the story where, like, he's able to take this historical situation and actually tie it to the individual stories of so many different types of people who've come to this country from completely different backgrounds and have an experience.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fresh look at the American experience.
From not the white guy.
From not the white guy that, and one that you don't see in classrooms so much.
Right. Not only that.
You really don't learn much about Hamilton in school.
Not really.
You and know what, his name. You know he got shot by Aaron Burr. That's basically it.
What's cool about this, like, he did a lot of things with at-risk youth and high schools in underserved areas. He brings, like, students in to see the show that could not otherwise afford it.
Yeah.
But these kids are actually learning a ton about American history through a different lens. Like, through a lens that makes them feel more empowered than the shit that they must hear at school. People need to hear history from different perspectives, not just the one you get in your textbooks.
Yes. But in terms of emotionally, why do we watch this show about people that lived 200 years ago and fucking cry our eyes out?
Because again, it's archetypes. It's the guy who waits too long and misses his opportunity. It's the guy that works his fucking ass off and then pushes himself into a grave because he's too stubborn to back down.
Hubris.
There's all that hubris. And then there's, you know, the woman behind the man who is always there and supports him and has kind of been dragged through it all, but comes out on the other side like, you know what? I'm stronger for it. And I'm also going to tell his story and build that legacy that he so wanted. There's the love triangle. There's, you know, actual wars that you learned about, but you see a human side of it in a way that you haven't seen before. Because when you watch war movies, they're all kind of like not the super touching stories.
Well, some of them are, but...
Right, but like... I don't know. I think it just, it has everything.
Yeah.
There's something for everyone. It's just relatable. Yes, these are people that lived 200 years ago, but it's a relatable story told in a very current format.
Every time I listen to it, I want to cry. Numerous times.
They're also talented.
Musically, it's one of those albums that you need to listen to three or four times to fully assimilate it. And those are kind of the best types of albums that gain with familiarity. The same way It's a Wonderful Life gets better every time you see
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
In the eye of a hurricane, there is quiet.
That was good.
For just a moment. A yellow sky. I'm ready for my Hamilton, Mr. DeMille.
When I really hit like my hard obsession with it, I went on YouTube and went down a rabbit hole of finding interviews and documentaries yeah. and whatever I could find. And I just kept watching Lynn on like different talk shows. Yeah. And I was like, God, he's so amazing. I just want to be his friend.
Yep.
But I remember being so in awe of him. Like, he yes. has the most amazing energy.
Yes.
His passion is so obvious.
Is contagious.
Yeah.
I don't know how you accomplish something like this and just be like, okay, now what?
Yeah, like, what is there after this?
Lynn, you should come to our house and hang out with us and we can watch it all together and we can talk.
He probably doesn't sleep anyway.
Parents' Night Lynn.
Parents' Night Lynn. Oh, no. That's amazing.
High five.
You better hashtag that.
I am. In the eye of Parents' Night Inn, it is quiet.
Oh, my.
Go on YouTube. Like and subscribe.
Thanks for watching, everybody. Don't forget to click that subscribe button and follow us on Twitter, MeWe, and Facebook.